Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Corona numbers in the US are still on a record high. The political situation is still not 100% clear. And on the other hand, we see volatile markets. This is the IG Trading Talk. I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idine Boumidi. He's the head of markets at IG. And the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Good morning. How are you?
See you, Manuel and Peter.
Peter, we still see volatile markets. The markets are more or less going sideways. What is like the main topic on Wall Street at the moment?
I appreciate the question. I think it's really important to note where we have come from, where we are going, and where we are at right now in the markets relatively to the big picture and to where we are in the year, right? We have spoken in the past about what it's like pre-election, post-election, and then in the last quarter, as we would historically be coming into Thanksgiving, Black Friday, large shopping days for e-commerce, the Christmas season, which is usually when markets are up, perhaps is a little profit-taking, or if markets are down, markets tend to mark themselves up coming into the end of the year. But as we know, 2020 is a, I call it no rules, 2020, nothing that would normally be part of our lives is really going on, right? I think it's really important for us to note where we are right now. You guys in Europe are in the heat of a shutdown and a spiking pandemic, as are we here in the United States. It's out of control, right? We are seeing, starting to fracture the economy. Look, as we come into the end of the year, and I think this is important to answer your question, because it's becoming more evident here. We've spoken over the last 8 months, the three of us, about why is the market continue to go up when the economy and the prospective recovery is so potentially fraught with disaster, right? And as we come to the end of the year in the United States, we're seeing that 6 million people did not pay their rent in September. We're seeing 14 million people who will lose unemployment insurance come to the end of the year. We are seeing food lines for food. There are around the United States that is unprecedented. We've seen 8 million Americans slip into poverty since the beginning of the pandemic. So, you know, yes, we are market analysts and we are market watchers. Yet, I think, and we've talked about this too, that at one point, the realization in the United States of the state of the economy, of the state of the employment, of the state of people who have slipped into poverty, people who will no longer have a lifeline, while our Senate does nothing to support that, irrespective of one's politics, I think potentially we have some issues and some problems. Yes, the market is sort of trading sideways up against sort of a record high, as it were, right? We saw 1 week, a few weeks ago, down 6.5%. Rotation out of tech and whatnot, positioning into the election. We saw a 7.5% rally post-election as the market was just relieved that it was over, even though we're seeing, you know, Mr. Trump fight and squeal for the what I'm starting to describe as really performance art, right? He knows he's not going to win. He knows he's not going to reverse what was a significant victory, 80 million votes to 73 million votes. 6 million votes for the popular vote, and 60, 70 points in the Electoral College as a win. That's not going to happen either. That's not having any bearing on the market. What is really affecting the market, as we've also said before, is it gets very focused. Couple of things. We're beating up our head. We actually got up to 29,984, as close to 30,000 as one can get. Right. And we bought out the hats. And of course, that voodooed the market. Between that and the Boumidi bands, we saw the market completely hit up against these resistance levels. Right. And we've really kind of consolidated rather than call it a pullback or a sell off. You know, markets that are marching towards record highs due to liquidity pumped by the Federal Reserve, due to the fact that people. Markets are forward-looking, right? And Salah has often talked about this, that we're basically pricing in a recovery of the market in about a year, of the economy in a year, right? So the market is trading at a level where they're saying, okay, we are going to get a vaccine, we are going to turn this economy around, and perhaps in 1 year's time, we'll be able to start seeing a crawl out from under the rock we're in. And that so the market is portending somewhat of a recovery a year down the line, right? So there's so many moving parts yet again, another week, the three of us are together. It's fascinating to watch what's really happening. Where are people putting their focus, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's the NASDAQ, whether it's Tesla and NIO, whether it's basically retail, whether it's e-commerce coming into the Christmas season. The bottom line is Christmas will come this year. Okay, Thanksgiving will come, as will Black Friday. Whether people are sheltered in place or not, the market is going to be moved by people with disposable income who are going to try and capture as much of a normalcy for their families as possible. And those people will be involved in the market, right? They'll be involved in buying Christmas presents. And my heart goes out to it, and I can't help but have to mention the fact that there are people who are really in need of a lifeline. And in the United States, due to lack of leadership and the out of control virus, we're seeing people who are hurting. We're seeing an economy that is hurting. We are privileged individuals here. So we can talk about how the market's going up and how people are making money and that things seem okay, that there are sectors that are more pandemic friendly, there are sectors that are in trouble. I think it's important to note that Mr. Powell of the Federal Reserve during a conference last week, after he had spoken in his monthly news conference, when someone asked about the economy, he said, it's important for everyone in the world to know that on the other side of this, we are going to see an economy that will never be the same, right? We're going to have, we're really the picture of what life will look like on the other side is going to be all brand new, so that we're really going to have to adjust our interpretation of the moving parts of markets, of economy, people who need a lifeline, businesses that are in trouble. We need to address hospitality, right? 2-3 out of 5 restaurants may never open again, right? Airlines and whatnot. So, you know what? What's so wonderful about the three of us and the market and whatnot in the eyes of a dark winter is that for analysts and for people like us who are forensic market watchers, every day has got to be the most exciting day ever.
Exactly, especially in this year, 2020. So what I was focusing by saying, just extract all fundamentals, just look on technical view. I have seen the volatilities. The VIX is on a make or break decision right now, because if we look on the volatility on the VIX, it's the fourth time since mid-March that we are testing that volatility goes down and is testing the support levels that we are reaching right now or last week. So now my question is volatility picking up? Technically saying like, oh, we tested again this support, and we're going to see an uptick in volatility, or is that new a make or break decision that will maybe pass through the support and give us more impulses for the last actually 30 days roundabout in this year? So what do you think? Is that a make or break, or do you think no, nothing will happen, we will stay sideways?
You know what, I don't think we're going to stay sideways. I think this story is evolving on a day-to-day basis. You know, I've seen the things that really move this market are the vaccine, the virus, and volatility. 3 V's, right? How cool is that? These are the things that are on an intraday basis are moving the market. When Moderna and Pfizer came out with a report that they've got a vaccine that's 95% effective, right? And the market, that was one of the biggest contributing factors to last week's 7.5% rally, right? And the continuation of that, taking it up to this level of technical resistance. So vaccine, then we have the virus. The virus here in the United States is out of control, right? We've got a political situation that is really causing friction amongst the moving parts to try and come up with a way to logistically disseminate the vaccine. I kind of think that the next 30 days are going to be very telling as this story unfolds, because we've seen that one of the things that the market negatively reacted to was New York City closing their schools. Okay, that's one of been one of, besides the technical resistance we hit up at the 29.9 level in the Dow Jones average and in the S&P at 36, whatever. We're seeing some negative draw in the market with news. People can't help but notice what's going on as this year comes to an end for the economy. Whatever kind of recovery you think you're having, I don't think one can make a decision about that. So it's a matter of, are we going to really pick sectors that are going to outperform coming into the end of the year? You know, I have to say I'm really confused. You know, we've historically, you know what, there are two choices. We may see this market continue to outperform. Look, one of the things that's important to note is when you butt up against technical resistance, right? You hit it once, you hit it twice, right? The market retraces, it consolidates. That's where we are at the moment. And so we've got two possibilities, two scenarios. One is that the negative news is going to be the logistics of disseminating the vaccine is going to be questionable. The storyline on the news is going to be like, so if we do now have a vaccine that's going to come, who's going to get it first? Are people going to have it? When will it be available to the general public? What does the economy look like? Are people going to spend and try to maintain some kind of normalcy around Christmas time for their families, right? So what is going to move the market? Are we basically, we've seen it before when we hit these huge landmarks of 1,000 points. Now you see, we, you know, look, since 18,000, we've made quite a marching move to 30,000, 29.9 in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But we're talking now a tenfold milestone. 30,000 is a big number. And even though some people will poo-poo it, it's the Dow, it's only 30 stocks, it's not that significant. In my opinion, it is, right? It draws in people who are watching it from the technical point of view. It is a number that is realistic psychologically for traders and investors, and surely for some portfolio managers who are sitting here trying to figure out, you know, there were people who pivoted in March, who liquidated bad positions, jumped into the PayPals and Amazons of the world, and have shown double-digit gains for their customers, right? There are people who went along with the sell side in March, they blew up and never got back in. We've seen this historically before. There are people who sold in 07, and they regretted that every time. There are people who sold in 87 and also regretted. So those who were able to have some maturity in their position, or at least have the privilege of having enough money in cash, or be able to pivot quickly, this has been a double-digit rally since March. And there are people and stocks that have really outperformed for so many people. There's the stocks related to vaccines. There's the stocks related to housewares and remodeling one's homes. There's the sector with video chatting and whatnot. What I think is fascinating to see is that, obviously, we've talked about it before, too, that there are sectors that are reopening friendly and sectors that are locked down, right? And we've seen that already last week when the virus spiked up. Not only did we see the market retrace a little bit and consolidate, but we saw a rotation out of the Zooms, right, and into the airlines. How fascinating, right? And out of these outperforming stay-at-home stocks, and into the reopening stocks, right? So it's fascinating to see what's going on. You know, I think it's a wait and see as far as you're, you know, you asked me really, I'm giving you the long version of a long answer, but is it, are we going to hit up against this technical level and consolidate into the end of the year? Or are we going to bump up against it? And as long as it coincides with some sort of hope and positive information coming out of the vaccine, volatility or the virus, we could find 30,000 to be a leap off point for a much higher position.
Peter, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin just said that the corona, the stimulus packages, will end by December 31st. Does that mean we have a gap of like 20 days until the next government will be in power? So it could be a really bad situation coming up for many Americans.
So as I mentioned before, and, you know, I'm deeply moved and devastated, having been within this world of the virus and being someone who watches markets, but also is one who is an empathetic soul, which is obviously not what goes on in Washington at the moment. Hopefully it will start to, as we see President-elect Biden be somebody who is more a president of the people and not particularly one who is a narcissist who's surely worried about themselves. That your question begs me to address Sala's question, is that over the next 40 days, we are going to see a lot of things start to unravel as the unemployment insurance. Look, yesterday we saw the first spike in unemployment that we've seen for a while. That doesn't bode well. We're seeing attempts at reopening that are not going well. We're seeing state after state after state spiking up to levels that are beyond March madness, right? We're seeing 14 million people going to lose that insurance. We don't see a lifeline on the horizon until Mr. Biden comes in, unless we get surprised by Mr. Trump. But I think he's much more busy crying in the sandbox at the moment. But there are
Peter, a number of I think things. He's playing golf.
I think he's too scared to play golf. I think he built a little a sandbox in the Oval Office and he's playing with a ball in there. Anyway, apparently economically, and I was listening to Stephanie Ruhle this morning from CNBC, who was talking about the reality of what's going on in the United States coming into the end of 2020 with people who are the have-nots, people who don't have savings, don't have disposable income, have lost their jobs, have lost health insurance, have slipped into poverty, and for the first time in history, there are millions of new people, young people, okay, viable workforce people, who are now having to request food because they can't put food on the table themselves. So these are a different group of people who are involved in the market, but the reality of it, coming into Christmas in 2020, you know, with a virus spiking, you know, I think that day to day, we're going to see a story evolving. How much it will affect the market, I'm not sure.
Coming back to you, Peter, from a different perspective, because you are so experienced and you have seen so much up and downs on the market, especially on the floor. And coming back to Bitcoin, not about talking about the Bitcoin, but if we can see such parabolic increase on the markets, what is your experience? Of course, technically speaking, the probability is high that we're going to see a correction. But if you go back to history, what you have seen, what can you give us to our listeners in this times where you see parabolic increases? What could you give them as an word to say how to keep your sentiment? Because a lot of people come back or over to me and say, come on, should I buy Bitcoin right now? Why they are come right now and not 6 months ago? So always people are trying to go to the highs. And then if we are on highs, they are starting really to think about whether they should buy. Why we have this bias?
You know, look, it's fascinating to watch. Look, I had a little chat the other day about with someone who asked me the question whether I felt that the algorithms were eating away at the integrity of the market, and that what does the human element add to a marketplace that cannot be gotten from an algorithm. And I brought up the fact that algorithms and electronic trading in this new world that we're in now, and it's obviously, I would imagine, affecting Bitcoin too at the moment, is that you see people, we've got algorithms now that can react to content and from social media, right? So we've been seeing this for a while now. This is no new thing, but that we've seen it all through the last number of years with Mr. Trump, that when he tweeted something out about a deal with China, markets went up, right? There are actually algorithms that read social media content, and there are keywords, whether it's rumor, takeover, rally, trade deal, whatever it may be, they can actually engage the market and buy stock or sell stock. And that's why you will often see in this day and age, and that affects the volatility and the liquidity in markets, because when you've got movements like that, that are being generated by a computer without an emotional human element as the judgment call, you're going to run into turbulence, right? As I always bring up the analogy about getting on a plane in New York and heading over to Europe, and the pilot puts it on automatic pilot, and you run into a storm, and he takes it off automatic pilot and flies that plane. God forbid, the thing we would not want to do is go to the cockpit and look in there and see that there is nobody in there flying this thing as we hit through a storm. So look, we see, I'm becoming fascinated with Bitcoin. It was something I never really addressed much at all. You've sort of illuminated me to it. It's obviously getting my attention. It's getting a lot of people's attention once again. Let's look at Bitcoin historically, right? It's something that I didn't understand. And since I couldn't put my hands on it, I didn't want to even delve into it. But it's beyond me. It's kind of like it's become sexy. And as is Tesla and electric cars, they've become sexy. When a story is sort of got hair on it and is confusing and you can't hang your hat on it, well, then there are people who are risk takers, and they get involved and they buy Bitcoin at 3,000, it goes to 20, they sell it and they get back in on the way down. There are people who are believers and non-believers, right? We're seeing it now with the Tesla space, with the car space, NIO, it's fascinating, the Chinese electric vehicle company. General Motors made an announcement yesterday that they're going to be putting billions of dollars into electric vehicles, hoping to be able to sell more than 1 million. Ford is coming out with one. So that suddenly went from an idea of Elon Musk with one car, electric, you know, people played and made money in it, but a lot of the majority of investors were saying it's too high flyer, I'm not going to buy it up here. They missed the boat. You know, we have a great saying on Wall Street, if you don't go to the wedding, don't go to the funeral. Meaning that if you didn't buy Tesla at 100 and rode it out and made money, you don't buy it at 500, right?
Exactly.
So that's a human judgment call when you get involved in these things. But I think suddenly, and it's a shift in me, and I see it being a shift in the market in Bitcoin, where it's suddenly become, it was sort of spooky and a wonder and exciting and risky, but it suddenly got sexy, right? As people saw it catching stability, some traction. That's the word I'm looking at. The stock has traction, right? And it's also feels like, you know, it could be a flight to safety. It's another option to go against a commodity. But the story is evolving. It's fascinating. It's at 18,000. We've seen it here before, right? I would imagine there's some new components to it now. The two choices are, is it going to hit up that against the 20,000 level, which the last time it got here went down to 3,000? Or is it going to be sexy enough and have enough traction to use that as a stepping off point for a higher level?
Thank you.
Peter, we already talked a little bit about it. It's a holiday week on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving, and maybe an also very important holiday on Friday. It's Black Friday. Which day is more important for you?
You know what? It depends whether you're just talking familially or in the marketplace. You know what? These days are, you know, for me, I find it fascinating. You know, years ago, when everyone put their eggs in that basket for it's funny. In the old, you know, the whole story is so fascinating to me that now, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving for a month. We celebrate Christmas for 2 months. All these stories are so, stretched out, you know, as opposed to the way it used to be. People live their life, and then suddenly the Monday before Thanksgiving, they realize Black Friday is coming up. This is my time to spend some money. So you were able to see the economy's reaction to that day, which was created to get people's attention, to spend money, and to basically contribute to that nice boost that a lot of companies want. You know, a lot of companies, 30-40% of their earnings come at Christmas time, right? That's why we're going to see some obstacles within the hospitality space, the restaurant space, as we shut down. People are going to be right now. I don't know what's going on with you guys, but we are really being told, do not travel, do not go outside. You know, we're almost virtually getting a United States shutdown. We're not locking down. Even the new president-elect is saying we're not doing that. But state by state, we are about to enter into, I mean, 200,000 people a day are being infected by the virus, 11 million people, right? So, you know, I appreciate the question. Thanksgiving, people need to be with their families, but we're being told not to, right? So will this be a Christmas like no other we've ever seen? I would imagine so, as people are really having navigated their way through 2020, some better than others, but I would think a lot of people are hurting, whether people that's put so much onus on a Thanksgiving holiday with their family are being told, do not do that. You will risk the life of your parents and your grandparents. And or are we going to see, you know, people try and go overboard to try and get some level of normalcy and still have a turkey and still have a family gathering and whatnot. So I don't recommend any of that stuff. Because as you know, obviously I just got a text on it saying early Black Friday sales. So not only are there sales on Black Friday, there's early on Friday sales before Thursday and Friday. But anyway, you know, it's a fascinating world we're living in.
Peter, I think somebody is listening. So we wish you a happy holiday and a good time and all the best for you, Peter.
I appreciate it. I wish the same to you guys. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. And I think that everybody should really take this seriously, right? And, you know, if you're a trader, as we always say, take profits while you can. Don't wait around for unacceptable losses. Hope is not a strategy. And follow the Bumidi bands. They're killing it.
Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and Sara Edina Bumidi, the head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Happy holidays, everyone. Stay safe.
Nice.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. For more information, go on IG.com. I'm Manuel Koch. See you next time.